Blog Talk Radio.
Episode of Scatter Chair. This is Jess Ray, my boy Big Will.
Will.
Oh, man, people, audience, coronavirus. Everybody's at home, quarantine, and not at work. Will, what you think?
Dude, I think this may be the first time in my lifetime where we've had something that an outbreak that had worldwide impact, from health to entertainment to the economy. Every day over the last few weeks, it has been a major subject of discussion. Facts versus myth. Some of the celebrities that have come across it and tested positive. How our economy has taken a big slump over the last couple of weeks. So, dude, it's a huge thing, man. Huge.
Yeah, and there's a lot of just information, misinformation, you know, clues into what it is and whatnot. And I'm hoping that, you know, in this episode, we're kind of like maybe dispel or maybe inform people so they can make better decisions or lead them in places. So they can get the information they need to make better choices.
Yes.
Yeah, and so one thing I want to mention, if you don't mind mentioning, Will, is like you're actually a nurse. You're actually in healthcare.
Yeah.
So there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. I just want to reference people, and it actually talks about coronavirus in detail, the medical part of it. And the biological part of it. I would encourage everybody to look into that. And I'm going to talk about some other sources that you can look into to get information. So, Will, what have you seen or what have they told you? Like, even I've heard people not knowing the difference between like a common cold and actually the coronavirus. Like, what have you heard?
Well, when you look at them, right, on the outside, they look like the same thing. People have fevers, they have coughs, they may have some shortness of breath. The thing about the coronavirus is that I don't want anyone to think that, oh, it's just like a flu, just like your normal flu. But this is like the flu to like the 100th power.
Right.
Because how it's being transmitted, it originally started in animals.
Right.
Okay. It started in animals, and then it crossed over, and then it's done this hybrid mutation of sorts. And so when you're getting these germs into your body, they're feeding off of it, and it's multiplying in a sense. And that one thing is the major difference between your common cold, your flu, and the coronavirus. And so as we've been seeing it, because we didn't have a lot of information to go on and we have all these different resources worldwide kind of coming together to help us make this assessment and look at, you know, proper treatments, there's a lot of myths that were out there. And so far there's been a lot of great resources that have been dispelling all of that.
Okay. So you've actually been in the hospital recently. Like what's the difference? Like, is it like heavy respiratory or like if I'm sneezing, should I be worried?
When should I start worrying? I think everyone should have some new heightened awareness. about it. Mm-hmm. I think right now what we've been doing in the healthcare field is just been overreach a little bit. I would say that on the nursing standpoint, we rather start with the worst case scenario and then back down,
okay,
versus starting with the least case scenario and then moving up. Because again, when you're looking at your common cold, your flu, a pneumonia, or this coronavirus, all the symptoms look the same. So it's not until you've been tested for sure will you know the difference.
Okay.
Like
what I've
seen different with coronavirus. I've seen like bluish lips. Like I've seen people who have been kind of delirious. Some unable to kind of bring attention to a situation. More of a persistent chest pain. Those are things that I started to see. On top of maybe your difficulty breathing or shortness of breath. So these are things that I've seen that have been slightly different than the norms. And it's not until you start to test positive that you need to start seeking that medical attention.
And, you know, I don't know, like, what are the best sources for somebody to go to get, like, a test, just going to the hospital and just get it? Like, what are you suggesting? Because, I mean,
a lot of the healthcare facilities, urgent cares, have the test kits. That was one of the biggest things that we were looking at coming from the White House, was getting additional funding so we can get the additional materials into the facility. Someone may, if you start to feel cold-like symptoms, just get checked. I'd rather you move on the side of caution and then be tested and be negative, and then you can start doing things differently versus downplaying it as if it's something minor and then, you know, getting it to us when it's too late. So, yes, any medical facility or urgent care, some people have set up appointments with their doctors for physicals and gotten tested that way, something in a very controlled environment so that healthcare professionals are not being overloaded at one particular time.
Okay. So how about this, Mitch? Should, as a kind of healthy individual, right, should I go ahead and just, like, make sure my immune system is right by, like, eating the right foods and avoiding certain foods as far as nutrition-wise?
I think that would be an everyday thing even without the coronavirus. Healthy eating is healthy eating is probably number one. I know that I have been a victim of just maybe a poor eating habit here and there. But for the most part, people who are eating a lot of plant-based, lots of fruits, vegetables, things of that sort, tend to have healthier and stronger immune systems, and therefore they're able to kind of combat this coronavirus a little bit better than most. Still, even with that, most of my seniors, some of my infants, toddlers, are still kind of susceptible because of their immune systems not being as strong as we are in our 20s, 30s, maybe in our 40s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for that soundbite. Have you been reading any news or anything?
I don't think you can really escape it. You know, there are some things that we're getting from CDC and the World Health Organization that have been used as our guidelines. I tend to stay away from news a lot and just going to reliable resources. As you go to the CDC website, as you go to the World Health Organization website, they are debunking a lot of the myths, giving you proper education and knowledge so that you can take efficient steps towards either prevention of receiving the virus or cure and attention to it once you have it.
Okay. Okay. What about, have you seen like the reports from, I forget what's the name, Osterholm and from, and Fauci?
Fauci is probably the most recent and when it comes to shock value.
Okay.
A lot of this, again, is coming from CDC and coming from World Health Organization. He is echoing that information. He is bringing a heightened awareness to the serious matter, and he's to be applauded for something like that. When you're getting things from your government that kind of downplay it. Again, a downplay, and I get it. You know, you don't want to have widespread panic.
Right.
This is, you know, but in the same sense, you don't want to undereducate your public as well, because if they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the way to protect themselves or to help self-contain or help in the cure. So, yeah, Dr. Fauci, huge as far as the spreading of the news.
I also I looked at Joe Rogan. For anybody that wants to know, I've been following Joe Rogan. He has an episode number 40. It's 1439, and it has Michael Osterholm. And he basically talks about what's going on as far as, like, the coronavirus and then future viruses and what's going on in, like, as far as, like, timetables and things of that nature. And he has a book. So if you want to get more information on that, he's another leader. And then who's this other guy? Patrick Ben David. He does this thing called Volume 10. I think I might have referenced him before. But basically he takes all the data that he's seen, all the leaders that speak upon medical health, and he basically synthesized all the data and gives you, like, all the facts so you can make better decisions for yourself and as far as, like, what the timeline is going to be. So, wait, you're in – so, Will, you're in Tennessee. How are things looking for you in Tennessee?
Well, it's a myriad of different things. You have the coronavirus, and then we had the tornado strikes. That have happened, and then we had this growing population. So you have a couple of different things that are moving at the same time that makes things a little bit more difficult. For example, as people are trying to stockpile for the coronavirus and being at home, they're taking things like your waters, your canned goods, breads, things of that sort. Now we have this tornado effect, and we have people who are displaced, don't even have places to store those items. And then we're trying to get them relief packages, temporary housing. The weather has been rainy and it's been cold. So if you've been displaced, you're probably in colder environments, which makes your immune system a little bit more susceptible to cold and flu, which gives you those symptoms that we were talking about earlier. So now we're trying to find out whether or not have you been in contact with the coronavirus. Do you have a cold? Do you have a flu? Do you have a early case of pneumonia? How do we label you in that? So yeah, the dynamic is a little bit more difficult here in Nashville.
Oh, wow. Wait, so have they even started? So it seems like you guys have a double over. So have they started any type of, like, everybody working from home type things or anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Our schools have been closed. Our church service, for example, for us, have been done online. Those who are still wanting to go into the brick and mortar, buildings and stuff for service. We've offered our church up for other other services to be held in different churches.
Hey, Will, hold on a second. Well, I think we got a caller. Are caller, are you there?
You have a caller?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Oh, hello. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
First time calling with
right.
Us?
Who's
your name, sir?
What's your name? Where
it's
you from?
Michael. It's Marcus. I'm from
hey,
LA.
Hey, Michael.
No, Marcus.
Hey.
So, Marcus, what's it like for you? What's going
Marcus?
On for you in LA? How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I was working at Servitage for a while, and we got shut down yesterday. And they're just willing to do some hours. It's really bad. Like even for retail is like with guaranteed 40 hours. Now they only get 3.
Oh wow!
Like a day.
Yeah. That was something that we were talking about, the economy with the virus right now. We've seen the markets dropped a great deal, and that's one effect. But since you're telling us about retail and you're telling us about your situation, you said you're going from, I want to make sure this was correct, from 40 hours a week to about 3. Is that correct?
Well, not three a week, like 3 a day. So
three
just
a day.
Like. Yeah, they're not even getting, like, half of the time they were supposed to get. In California, it's supposed to be 4 hours minimum a day, and they're only giving them 3. And that's just for, like, professionary level.
Wow. Okay. With your the retail, for example, I'm kind of curious on this. I knew retail was already facing issues with the online community versus the brick and mortar community, and that was one of the things we were talking about before. Retail was already having its own struggles before this happened, and so now right, so. Tell me what a day in a life is now for you.
You know, I went from, I mean, okay, so I work as a kitchen assistant. So we are part-time, so we don't get a full 40 hours a week. So just playing, shutting us out like that is just like, you know, it's not like they were like, they did it, but, you know, because they hate us or something. They did it because, I mean, it's just safety precautions. And as a handling professional, I have to take this just as seriously as the rest of the world does. I have to take care of myself, I have to take care of my family, and I have to take care of the lives of the people I work with and the people I work for. I totally get that. I understand that. But everything that happens so suddenly.
Wow. Wow, it really strikes home for me to hear that news. Anyone who has any kind of empathy or understanding towards these we're talking about different industries, whether it's retail, whether it's food and beverage, whether it's entertainment, a lot of people are hearing these same similar stories. Has the employer looked at some kind of alternative methods to help you make ends meet?
Well, we qualify for unemployment for right now, just until everything gets cleared up. But the irony, and I was just telling some of my friends this and some of my family this, is that since yesterday. When they officially cut us off, I've heard about a lot of different job opportunities out there. You know how they have that saying, like, in China, it's the same way for crisis and opportunity. So it's kind of like that, because one of my coworkers just called me today, and he was like, oh, routes is hiring. Uber drivers are still needed. One of my friends just told me that Amazon is hiring. They're hiring like 100,000 people. But unfortunately, they're not hiring in Los Angeles.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
that
so
is a lot to take in.
I got to just do the best I can, you know, and just hold on and pray that all this stuff blows over.
We have to speak that into existence. Got to speak that into existence. It will blow over. This too shall pass. And so, yes.
What strikes me?
So wait a minute. Did your employer give you an option for the EDD? Like I think there's there's a government they gave you that. Okay.
We have a group text for the whole culinary division, and she gave us all the news all at the same time.
Okay.
And she immediately posted the link to EDD and was like, "You guys like qualify for unemployment, so go ahead and file that claim now." And then they're also still going to pay us for the time it takes for the week.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that there's some relief through all the mess.
I mean, the company cuts a lot of corners. Not as far as like food pricing or, you know, like screwing up customers or anything like that. But you know, like just other little things, you know, that people with a lot of money would do to help save money. That's not necessarily to the detriment of myself working for them, but you know, for themselves. However, they were very generous in this situation.
When you talk about not being at work, like when are they saying you're going to return?
We don't know.
So it's indefinite.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave us a time saying that we could be out for as long as 2 weeks. But to be fair, I mean, you know, we all, anybody with common sense would know that there's a question mark at the end of that. So.
Right.
So, I mean, just, you know, it's implied 2 weeks, but. But like I say, I mean, you know, there are more opportunities coming. I don't plan on just sitting around and waiting on something to happen. I really want to just test the waters and maybe try to find something new. But in the meantime, you know, I'm holding out, waiting on the news, and, you know, I'm just trying to take care of myself. Because it feels like the world is, you know, ironically, like the world is falling apart, but people are still being nice to each other. People have manners, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I guess maybe, like, all the, you know, all the buttholes, like, are huddled up inside. You know, maybe it's only, like, the nice kind of people that,
right.
that are actually, like, you know, trying to hold out hope. Because anytime you go to any store, you know, cleaning supplies, gone. Water, gone. Certain foods, gone. Like, my friends just went to the store today. She got, like, the last of the pasta, the last of the rice, you know, because people are just stockpiling. The Rouse by my house, when I walked in, the entire cleaning section was gone.
Dang.
All the water in the back of the store, gone. And it was the same thing at the store across the street.
Wow. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things in this, when we were talking about those buttholes of sorts, let's keep in mind that everyone is involved. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whether you're rich, middle class, poor, everyone is in this boat together.
That's true.
Right.
So
that's true.
I think it behooves anyone to be more of a jerk than another when we're all in the same kind of boat and going through the same kind of processes. So one of the things that Ray has always pushed is being kind to one another. He has constantly been saying that, and I hold that to be true in this day and time. I think the more we try to help one another get through it, the better we'll be. You know, that
right.
just speaks volumes.
And
I totally
adding on
agree.
To that, yeah, and adding on to that is just along with that, just having like your networks. Like if you got like friends and family, like calling them up. Like I know like the stores. I'm in LA too, Marcus. So like I've been to some of the stores. Before and after, and like just been kind of like grabbing things as I can. It just helps to just have like friends and family that you can like rely on, and just not necessarily rely on, but just ask them like what's looking at your shop, and then getting the hours, because I've noticed like a lot of the grocery stores are changing their hours. Like some of them have been open
yeah.
like 24 hours. They've changed their hours from
mm-hmm.
like 8 to 8 so they can restock and keep people from like mass piling in there and getting the fist fights and stuff like that, because I've seen that happen too. So what I've been told is like just go early, know what you need to get, like your staple items that'll last you for a long time. Don't go in there like buying like I hate to say it, like a frozen pizza that's gonna last you a day. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna buy that, make sure you buy like, you know, staple items like rice and grains and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, and just talk to your friends and family, and if can't get it where you're at, talk to your friends and family, see if they can get in and maybe like, you know, work out a situation, a barter system or a trade off, so that, you know,
yeah.
you're taken care of. It's not just you,
no,
Marcus. I'm
I
pretty sure it's everybody. Yeah, so you're not just like left ass out and it's like, damn, I don't know what to do. So at least you have something to keep you going so you can get to work the
mm-hmm.
next day and have the energy to fight another day. Because otherwise you're just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And that's
yeah.
That's where those things come important. That's why I just wanted to do this podcast, so like people like know, have other options and resources and how to like work those resources to get to things. There's
yeah.
So here in California, and I mentioned this with Marcus, there's the government EDD is offering the pay for people that work in restaurants and food to subsidize their income for what they're missing for the
mm-hmm.
next couple of weeks. They're saying it by March 1st, and then they're saying like April 16th, and then they're going as far as it's going to push out to like the summer, like June, July, maybe August. And people that are like smart and like hedging their bets are just like, nah, I'm just going to like make sure I'm good for like a month or months at a time, because I don't know what's going to happen. And then also like not necessarily even going into the stores, they order their food deliveries into the house, sanitize the boxes outside and have outside clothes to wear outside so that they can like
right.
get what they need to get, take it into the house and not have to spray it down again. So these
right.
are like some of the extreme like
wow.
measures people are going to make sure that they don't like catch the virus.
Right.
I can understand
that.
Some of those ideas are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just things that, I keep Lysol.
Right.
I had spray cans of Lysol. So in those case scenarios, like, and I have it as I'm unloading it from my baskets to in my car, I'm disinfecting it.
Right.
Because it's saying that it can linger. The one thing that we have been getting from World Health Organization is how long. I haven't gotten an estimated time of how long the virus can last on surfaces in a definite setting.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I guess I could say is with food items and supplies being constantly restocked, it's not staying long enough for people to do a lot of touching. People are picking up and going. But, yes, having, like, some Lysol and just kind of spraying stuff down before you put it into the car so that when you bring it into your home, it's all set. You don't have anything going into your car, you know. I always look at all those hypothetical situations. It is a heightened awareness. I will tell you this more so than anything. As a healthcare professional, I can't stress a heightened awareness for good hygiene, the things that we should already be doing. We just need to be more aware of it.
Right.
It might be more repetitious. It may be more of an irritation. But in the long run, it quells the disease. It quells the virus. It gives it nowhere to spread, and then it dies out. And that's the point.
Well, Ray can back me up on this. When you work in the food industry, half of the actions that you take are washing your hands.
Right.
And you do it so often.
Right.
You know, anytime you cut vegetables, you wash your hands before you move on to the next thing. Anytime you handle any meat, you wash your hands.
Right.
And then you move on to the next thing. You know, these are the same practices that you do at home. I just made dinner for me and my friend. And, you know, like every time I did anything, wash my hands, wash my hands.
Right.
You know, but these are things that we should be doing already as human beings. We know these things. You know, we were taught these things from day one. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, bash people or anything like that. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's gut check time for the world, you know. But,
yes. Yes.
So we just have to be better, and we just have to be better to each other and start taking care of ourselves and, you know, hopefully learn from this, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also speaking on the retail thing. Yeah. So also another thing on, like, the business tip is also – rethinking a lot of people that are in business, rethinking their business models instead of, like, the working from home and also contingency plans for things of this nature. There are, like, two books I referenced. I think they're on the images for the cover of this episode, The Extreme Future and The World is Flat, and it's talking about how people telecommute and people make contingency plans is for people not being able to work at actual offices. So I think, like, now, like, I think a lot of the restaurateurs are going to start thinking, like, okay, we need to have a contingency plan. Like, if people can't actually be at a location, like, how do I back up my finances to cover my operations costs? And also, like, having, like, you know, curb carry food, meal planning, and even, like, takeout, even if you're at a luxury, like, restaurant.
Well, I will say one thing about this whole situation. This could possibly change the way that people work in general, because there has been a conversation for a very long time about whether certain fields even need to come into work at all. I have a friend who works from home all the time. She has two kids, and it works out great for her because she can still be with her children, and she can still get work done. She can better handle her schedule sometimes, depending on the kids. But, I mean, that could work out for everybody. I mean, obviously, that's not an option for people like me and Ray. But, I mean, for the rest of the world,
hey,
I think that's
good. Marcus, I hate to interrupt you in 1 second. Does anybody have the episode open while they're talking? Because there's, like, strong feedback, like, from all sides.
I called in. I've been getting that the whole time.
I hadn't heard feedback.
Does anybody have the episode open by chance?
No.
Nope.
I'm hearing it.
I just called in.
Okay. Okay, just continue, because I'm just getting, like, some weird feedback. I don't know why.
I've been getting it, but I didn't. Anyway, so what I was saying is that this could change everything for the way people work in general, because you always hear a lot of people talk about how office work is very stressful and they don't like being boxed up in cubicles all day, and, you know, they still have to deal with their boss, you know, and you know, sometimes they can be, like, you know, asses and whatnot. But if you take out all of those, then I suspect that you might see productivity go up.
Right.
I think you'll also see a lot of different mental anxieties go down because, you know, they're so
much, there's so less stress, you know. You don't have to worry about getting in the car, especially if you live out here in L.A. You know, if you've ever been on the freeway at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, depending on where you're going, it could take you upwards of an hour to where you're going, and then you still gotta leave, and that's rush hour again. It's always the number one complaint that anybody ever makes about living here. And I would really like to see a change in that, you know, because living in LA, that always feels like an inevitability.
True.
So I would really like to see the turnaround on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So, Will, what do you have on your parting thoughts? I am an optimist,
and I know it will change. From a personal standpoint, from a professional standpoint, we are starting to see information pour in. We're able to collect all of that information into certain databases and then share it with the world. I mean, no one is going to have run the market when it comes down to something like this. This is worldwide. It has worldwide reaching effects in everything, everything we do, how we live.
I really hope that this is a lesson for future generations, like people like when my nephews get to be as old as we are, you know, that they can look back and say, oh, 20 years ago, our parents were scared shitless for us, so now I just wash my hands no matter what, you know?
I agree. I think almost every generation has its defining moment of a disease. And so, I will say, you know, wash your hands. You know, if you're gonna cough into your elbow. Try not touching your face until after you at least wash your hands.
Right.
Agreed.
If you start feeling sick, stay home. Isolate yourself. Try and keep your distance. That social distancing is going to be key, because if you're sneezing or if you have something that's traveling in the air, the more space you have between people, the better. I know that's going to be extremely difficult in today's environment.
With the social distancing, what are we talking about? 3 feet, 5 feet, 7 feet? And what if you're a couple? What do you do? What about family?
I mean,
like, you're in the house. What do you do? Like let's be real. Like, people are like, social distancing. I stay in the house. I'm a family of four. Like, I can't hug my son or daughter or sister. I got to put them in a tent. What are we doing?
Yeah. Put them in a tent. Put them in the backyard.
Wow.
I'm just joking. I mean, but for the most part, I think things like opening up your window, allowing if someone has been tested positive, they're still going to have to be isolated in something in the house because they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We can't just put them out into general society. So, I mean, if I was looking at social distancing, at least 3 feet, that's one. If I have someone who has been tested positive in my home, I'm going to create a living space designed just for them. That's being well ventilated. And that's the best thing I can do if I'm having to come in contact with them. You don't have gowns and masks like we do in hospitals, but you're going to have to try and limit your contact with them. That becomes a little bit more difficult the smaller the children are. If I have a 3-year-old or toddler or something like that, you can't isolate them. They can't even understand or fathom the concept. So it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That means they may have to go into maybe one of our facilities, go into a hospital for some kind of isolation.
So when you talk about the isolation portion, are you talking about, you know, how you see in, like, the movies where people do the trash bags and the masking tape type deal? Are we talking about that type of extreme, like, if it's indoors, if they're, yeah, for full-on family?
It sounds like a zombie movie.
Everybody
can, like, just get to a hospital sometimes. Like, what if you, like, for instance, I live in L.A., right? If you're in Lancaster or Palmdale, or God forbid, what's the other place out there in the desert?
Like Hesperia, somewhere out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still have, there's still facilities. You know what I'm saying? There's still places that you can go. You have to look those places up. If you live, if I lived in Palmdale, I would have to go to a facility. I'm pretty sure that they have some kind of urgent care that's in that immediate area that you can be able to go to and be attended to. Understanding, you know, demographics, understanding finances, those pieces, it still requires you to do the same thing. It still means that you need to isolate that person who's been infected or been tested positive. They need to be treated properly, and those people who are around them probably need to be tested, and they need to be in heightened awareness that there is someone in their immediate area that has this. We're talking about, you're talking about a virus that gets into your body and multiplies. It uses your body as an incubator to multiply, which makes it even that much more difficult. When the common cold, your body has antibodies. It says, oh, I got this foreign thing in my body, and I'm going to fight it. No, this thing latches on and says, you know what? I see your antibodies, and I'm going to check it.
So it's kind of like Rick James in the David Chappelle episode with the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck your antibodies.
For real. Right, right. Right. They should have never gave you an immune system. Yeah, it's serious. It really is. I mean, because the symptoms seem to be the same, some people are not taking it as serious.
Right.
That's a game changer. That is a game changer.
Wow. Wow.
And,
well,
you know,
I'll say for my own particular situation, I happen to live with three other people. We stay in a one-bedroom apartment, and we all kind of share the same living space. So we have to be extra vigilant because if one of us gets infected, we literally put our whole house in danger, not to mention the rest of our community. So we've just been a little extra cautious in what we do and who we let in to our home because we can't afford to let anything happen to ourselves, let alone anybody else. Like I said, I have two very small nephews, and it's like you said, like, they can't even, like, understand the idea of, like, being away from their parents, you know, and I would never want that for them because that was, like, my heart. You know, that's a really scary thought. Like I said, we're doing everything we can, you know, and just you know, washing hands all the time. You know, we're really trying to get that in, instill that into them as, like, something you do. Luckily, they're very little, so they like water. You know, they kind of don't know the difference between play and self-care, but that's sort of different, like, it makes it a little easier to teach. Other than that, you know, it's just, you know, it's a very scary time to be around, but humanity has been through worse, and we'll definitely get through this, and, you know, like I said, man, hopefully, you know, we just learn a lesson, and we just, you know, bring it down to the next generation, you know?
That's the plan. What I am finding is, I'm just thinking, I have not seen anyone from the food service industry in my immediate area test positive.
Wow.
And that's interesting because they come in contact with a lot of people, one.
Mm-hmm.
But then two, the